This is Helmut Perls, Reel 4. I was wondering also, I understand there were some prisoners of war, German and Italian. Was that so?
I never saw German, but Italians were certainly there, and they also worked their way. At the time, I do not think that, at least I'm not aware of any Italian acted as, that kept as prisoners, but I was certainly I met them as employees, as farm workers, or waiters in hotels and restaurants, so on, during the war. I don't know if many of them stayed on South Africa, even in peacetime, was a polyglot society. We had many Portuguese, many Malays, Indians there. The Malays seemed to have the grocery shops and the Portuguese as well.
Also, I was wondering, you know, due to the fact that there was a lot of anti-war feeling and pro-German feeling as well with sections, was there any sort of spy mania? Were people worried about spies in South Africa?
About spying?
Yes, spies or spying.
Well, I do remember once hearing of a scare that there was a German ship somewhere there, but I don't think there was much worry about it. Again, it is very difficult for us today to understand a time when you couldn't go by plane to South Africa in a few hours. The trip from Cape Town to Southampton took a fortnight. So that limited the contact between South Africa and Europe or United States considerably.
Did you yourself feel involved in the war? You know, were you getting news of Europe? What was going on at the different war fronts?
Well, I remember rejoicing on the 3rd of September when the war started, because I hoped sincerely that this would mean the end of the Nazi regime. I had, like most people at the time, certainly no idea that war would last for so many years. I do remember rejoicing again when Hitler invaded Russia, because I remembered what happened 120 years before with Napoleon. The entry of America into the war seemed to affect us generally less, because we felt that the Americans would fight principally the Japanese. We did not realize how much help the Americans were giving to Europe already long before the invasion. the situation, the Japanese and the Chinese in South Africa, was very amusing. The Japanese, at the beginning of the war, or even shortly before, were beginning to build up their own industries and were trading with South Africa. They had their own ships, and these ships came quite regularly to Cape Town. The Chinese, on the other hand, were generally considered to be on the same level as the colored people. Now, when I talk about colors, I'm talking about people a mix between black and white. The results largely of early marriages of Dutch people who had come to South Africa unmarried. And while the Japanese, who came with their own ships, and some of them were living permanently in South Africa, were considered whites. The Chinese were considered blacks. But when China entered the war as official partner of the Allied cause, the situation became suddenly reversed, and the Chinese became white and the Japanese became black. Highly amusing development.
Were there any people interned in South Africa? Were there internment camps at all?
No.
I was wondering about the war with Japan.
To the best of my knowledge, no. I have also never heard of German prisoners of war at that time. There may have been during the First World War when Germany still had colonies in Africa. But I don't remember anything of that sort in during the Second War.
Your wife, you were saying how she had gone to Palestine with, you know, this organization prepared her.
Yes.
How about her family in the war? Had they managed to escape?
No. Her father died in 1913, when she was a child of, no, 1915, when she was a child of two. Her mother married again, I think in 1920. Her mother wrote to us a last letter in 1942. The letter was a letter of goodbye. She knew she was being transported east. Both of them were killed in the concentration camp.
When did your wife know that? When did your wife know what had happened to them?
After the war. We have never found out in which camp she ended. But she was transported in August 1942.
Did you and your wife have any idea at all during the war about the death camps or the concentration camps? Did you have any?
About concentration camps? Yes. I had a very early information about concentration camps in 1934, a colleague of mine, and a student I was also friendly with, got involved indirectly with politics. A socialist friend of his asked him to look after a little printing press because he knew that the party was coming for him. And my friend agreed, and he was given away. So in 1934, he was already put into a camp. But at that time, the camps were not death camps. Nazis really did not seem to know what to do with them. I only was told later that he was given the job of standing outside in the yard for 8 hours a day in winter time, but the SR troops, the prison guards, forgot to give him socks and shoes. So he died as a result of gangrene within a few months. And I do know that a letter was sent to his parents. They did not know what happened to him. And the letter was telling them that if they wished to receive their son's ashes, they should send a certain amount of money for packages. So, concentration camps were well known, but we certainly did not know that they became death camps. The first Allied soldiers to come to death camps must have been in early 45. At that time, my wife, working as an usheress, I mean, she worked as a clerk in the daytime and as an usheress at night. And she was invited, like all of us, to view the films of the survivors and so on of the camps. That was early 1945.
Was that a great shock for you both?
Yes, a great shock. And actually, after the first few moments, she couldn't stand it and left the cinema.
And for you as well, was it?
Oh, yes, certainly. It's not a pleasant one.
Have you ever returned to Germany?
Yes.
To Germany?
Yes, I have returned to Germany twice. No, three times. The first time as a caravaner coming from Italy, going through Germany to get home to England. The second time, only in 1993, when also by caravan, I went to Prague and came back via Dresden. I was interested in seeing Dresden, which had suffered that famous firestorm. And oddly enough, in a year later, I was invited to go to Germany. My wife's uncle, who had become her guardian, was a well-known dentist in Germany, one of the very few people who lived in Berlin during the whole war underground. I was invited because I was supposed to be present at a ceremony when a street in Berlin was named after him. And so my wife and I spent a week as guests of the German people there.
How do you find going to Germany? You know, do you find it easy to relate to German people, or do you
I'm literally making a difference between the Nazis and the Germans of today. I would today feel very disturbed meeting a person of my age, because I do not know what he did in these Nazi years. I have nothing against the German of today. I certainly did not feel at home that week I was in Berlin when we not only went to see the new synagogue, which has just been built, wasn't quite completed when we were there, but I roamed the streets, which had been once familiar to me. I had lived in Berlin for some time before leaving Germany, but I certainly did not feel at home. On the contrary, I had little wish ever to go back.
Did you get any compensation for what had happened to you?
Yes. My wife, as well as I, we received each £400 for having missed out on our education. And oddly enough, in 1995, my wife received a pension for her by then long dead daughter. Attention. Died with my wife, actually. I think the sum was approximately £3 per month, something like that. Or was it £3 per week? I don't really know. It was a ridiculous sum which was sent to us straight to the bank by the German government.
Why did you come to Britain? Why did you leave South Africa?
I came to Britain in order to qualify.
And what date was that?
I beg your pardon?
What date did you come to Britain?
I came to Britain in September 1950. I had my all the German papers as a student from the German University, and I sent them to the Royal College of Surgeons, and oddly enough, South Africa had I had no intention of staying in this country. I had every intention of returning to South Africa, where at that time, when I left, my mother was still alive, and my daughter, naturally. But South Africa had a special law. If you were a dentist, and also I had no official German qualification, the papers I had proved me to have completed my studies, in order to practice South Africa, you had to have studied a minimum of 24 months, either in Britain or in the United States. And so I sent in an application to Royal College of Surgeons that they should make me study at least that period of time. And that is what I did. I could not enter the hospitals immediately, because the hospitals in Britain were still filled with students who were, soldiers during the war. And so I had to wait and work as a dental technician in London for a little while before I was permitted to enter the university college. And I qualified here, and after we had brought our daughter to Switzerland, and she died there, she is buried there, my wife joined me here, and we made our life here.
Well, Mr. Pearls, thank you very much indeed for telling me about your experience in the war in Germany, South Africa, and England. Thank you very much.
That was